perspective and get first things first. Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the life of the world. A couple of words on our service this morning. Our opening hymn, number 818, really kind of sums up the life of a Christian. In thee is gladness, in God is gladness amidst all sadness. 818. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. Have a worship insert for the day, the 23rd Sunday after Trinity. The readings are on one side, propers are on the other. And we pray that God would bless us as we hear His word and receive His gifts. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of each new day. We thank You for the gift of Your word which teaches us that You are in complete control of all things. Heavenly Father, while that should be good news, oftentimes it is not, because we want to be in control. We want to be in control of our own destiny. We want to be in control of our own sin. Heavenly Father, teach us again to submit to You and to Your word, and to learn how to receive Your forgiveness, Your salvation, Your life. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for the life of the world. Amen. Hymn 818. Stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of Christ, announce the word of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for wholeness and not for evil. Then you will call upon me and come and pray. us pray. O Lord, absolve your people from their offenses, that from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our frailty we have brought upon ourselves, we may be delivered by your bountiful goodness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 23rd Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 8. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. You have saved us from our foes,
and have put to shame those who hate us. God, we have boasted continually, and we give thanks to your name forever.
The epistle is from Philippians chapter 3. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then, what you think, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, Whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Therefore, render to Caesar's the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. We now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing now the hymn of the day, hymn 659, Lord of Our Life. Please be seated.
Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 22nd chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew, dear friends, in Christ. Can you serve both God and Caesar? Can you serve both God and the government? Many in our world today will tell you no. Some secular liberals will tell you that your service and obedience to God, well, it's just fine within the privacy of your home or within the four walls of this building. But your faith in God has nothing to do with your life in the world. Leave your Bible at home, dear friend. Keep your religion off my body, my government, my rights, my society. Some religious conservatives, and this perspective is very old, in fact, it was part of the battle lines during the Reformation, say that service and obedience to Caesar, to the government, is incompatible with a Christian's life in this world. Our obedience is to God, they say, not man. And a Christian owes nothing to Caesar. The Pharisees and the Herodians in our text for today wanted Jesus to make a dangerous choice. Will you honor and obey God, or will you honor and obey Caesar? Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And their presupposition is quite common today. Service to God and service to Caesar is incompatible. You cannot serve both God and Caesar. Is it lawful to pay taxes? Well, Roman law, like U.S. law, is quite clear. You pay. But what does God say? And so Jesus is presented with a dilemma. The same dilemma, dear friends, that maybe you don't think about, but that faces you and me in our daily lives as Christians. If you say that you are obedient to Caesar, the religious types will tell you that you are honoring men above God. If you say you are obedient to God, then the secular types will exclude your voice from the public square. But Jesus refuses to play this game. He will not be boxed in, but he goes after their presupposition. The presupposition that you must make a choice between God and Caesar. Show me the coin for the tax, he says. Now, Jesus apparently doesn't have a denarius on him, but his opponents sure do. Whose likeness and inscription is this? He asks. They quite rightly identify the image as Tiberius Caesar and the inscription as his own. And what he says next stuns them. Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. You see, there is no choice to be made here between one or the other. Render to Caesar the things that belong to him, and to God the things that belong to him. Both are to be given what they are due, and both honored and respected accordingly. You see, Jesus, he's no revolutionary. He has not come to overthrow any earthly government. It is through him that Caesar has any power. As you heard Vicar Reed in our Old Testament lesson from Proverbs, "By me kings reign," God says. The Pharisees have admitted their debt to Caesar because they're carrying his coin. They use his economy, his roads and infrastructure. They are beneficiaries of the Roman peace, the law and order brought by Roman soldiers. And Caesar is due what he is owed: taxes, obedience, honor, respect. Dear friends, you receive from Caesar, unless you happen to live on an uninhabited island in the middle of the South Pacific. You receive from Caesar, whether you like Caesar or not, whether you voted for Caesar or not. You see, God uses Caesar to provide for us, and we are all indebted to Caesar. We all benefit in one way or another, and usually many, many ways, from Caesar's work. God has given Caesar authority, and to Caesar must go the things that are Caesar's. Now, you can work for change. You can call up your congressman. You can even run for elected office or serve in Caesar. There are many avenues available for you to have your voice heard, to work for change, in fact, more than any other country in the history of the world. But dear friends, you cannot cover over disobedience to government with some sort of religious show, pretending that you are cheating Caesar, withholding from Caesar the things that are Caesar's, out of some sort of pious loyalty to God. Such things are not of Christ. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. This doesn't give to Caesar a blank check. You render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, nothing more. And Caesar will want more. Caesar will want to be given the things that are God's. Caesar will overstep his bounds in big and little ways. And there, it is the task of a Christian to speak. There, it is the task of a Christian even to disobey. There, a Christian is called upon to imitate Christ. Christ, as even his enemies described him. You do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. When Caesar is encroaching on the things that are God's, we refuse to care about the opinions of men, but declare with the apostles, and this is an important verse, dear friends, we must obey God rather than men. But when you do so, be ready. You must be prepared to face the consequences. The words of Jesus set a limit to the authority of government. The words of Jesus set a limit to our obedience to our rulers. If we are commanded to violate God's word, if we are commanded not to speak anymore in his name, then we render to God the things that are God's and deny Caesar what he wants. If we are commanded to participate in immorality, to subvert God's law, we refuse obedience and we willingly pay the price. We must obey God rather than men. Caesar is to be given what he is owed, but he is not owed everything. God remains supreme, and he has established all authority in heaven and on earth, as he declares once again in Proverbs, "By me princes rule, and nobles, and all who govern justly." Too many Christians look to the government for salvation. Too many Christians place their trust in Caesar, in elections, in bills, in programs, in huge amounts of money thrown at society's ills. Too many Christians place their fear, love, and trust in the political process. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Caesar is not owed fear, love, and trust, the things of God. Caesar is owed taxes, honor, and obedience, the things that are his by right. For he too is a creature created by God, given authority by him. Caesar is God's instrument. He is not God himself. You see, a Christian works with Caesar for the good of his neighbor, but a Christian fears, loves, and trusts in God above all else, no matter how attractive Caesar appears. For dear friends, Caesar cannot save. Now, Caesar can alleviate suffering to a certain extent. Caesar can ensure justice imperfectly. Caesar can save you from your enemies if he can identify those enemies and shut them down before they strike. Caesar can punish wickedness and reward the good. But often in our world, the wicked go free and the good are persecuted. Caesar cannot save. Only God can do what Caesar cannot. St. Paul declares in our epistle lesson, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself." We sojourn in this world. We are strangers and we are aliens. While we are here, we are obedient to Caesar. We give to Caesar what he is due. But we never forget where our citizenship lies. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And this heavenly kingdom isn't some sort of subversive shadow state that has its own rules, economy, and justice, but a kingdom which is not of this world. A kingdom characterized by the forgiveness of sins and the life everlasting. A kingdom that is rooted in the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. God stands over both kingdoms. The kingdom of this world, where things like money and law enforcement and import laws are needed, and the kingdom of heaven, where such things don't apply, where there is only the forgiveness of sins and the distribution of the gifts of Christ. We stand in both as individuals. And dear friends, we even stand in both as a congregation. But only one of these kingdoms saves. Only one gives us a Savior who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body. That's why we render to God the things that are God's, because He saves. What Caesar cannot do, God has in the sending of His Son. God placed Him under the authority of Caesar. Jesus allowed Caesar's representative to pass judgment upon Him, and the innocent one was condemned to death. But He did so to eliminate every problem that Caesar has never been able to solve. Government was established because of sin, to punish the wicked and reward the good. But it could never conquer the root of the problem: sin. That is why salvation by Caesar always fails. It cannot destroy sin. But Jesus did. He died as the ransom price. Justice was done upon Him. Perfect justice. The justice you deserved. And He died under God's wrath in your place. But He rose again in victory, and He promises a kingdom for you where social programs will be no more, for all suffering will be eliminated, where taxes will not be needed, for everything is provided perfectly without cost, where a healthcare system is obsolete, for no one will ever get sick or die ever again, where law enforcement and the military will have no place, for the wicked will not dwell there. What Jesus has won for you and for me is an eternal kingdom where the need for government will be no more. But that time isn't yet, dear friends. You still dwell in this world, a citizen of heaven, to be sure, but yet you still sojourn here below. Can you serve both Caesar and God as you wander in this wilderness? Yes. Christ is clear. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Ultimately, they both end up being the same thing, because to render to God the things that are God's is to honor and obey Caesar as God has commanded. For it is God who put Caesar in place. God is the head of both kingdoms, and He rules in both in different ways for your good. Your temporal good here in this world, and your eternal good in heaven. Now, there is a distinction between the two kingdoms, but no divide and certainly no wall of separation, for you are one person and you stand in both. Yes, you can be an active member of society with your Christian confession front and center. Yes, you can bring the Word of God to bear on the great issues of our day. Yes, you give to Caesar honor and obedience, knowing that in so doing, you are honoring God. But as the church doesn't enforce faith with the power of the sword, neither does the state forgive sins with the power of the keys. Both do the task to which they have been given by God Himself. And to us, you and me, living in both kingdoms, we have this very simple charge. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand and we sing the offertory, page 192.
And welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who rules over all of our lives, and especially with the gift of Jesus, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and our offerings. With the prayers of the church, please stand as you're able. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Cleo Kessler, not only for her health, but also for some financial issues at this time. our response to our prayers this morning. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For hearts and minds guided by the wisdom of the Lord, proclaimed to us through His Word, that we may ever turn to Him in repentance and faith. Put aside all bitterness, malice, and grudges, and rejoice in the salvation won for us through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors of the church, for our synodical president, our district president, all those in authority in the church, that they be granted wisdom and faithfulness in their task of the proclamation of the Word of God, and that we may ever seek to hear of His mercy and love toward us in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those serving in positions of authority in our government and in communities, including our president, our governor, for all those in law enforcement, for those serving us in the military, that the Lord may grant them wisdom, integrity, and a spirit of humility in their service. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those suffering in body, mind, and soul, for all those facing surgery and recovery, and for all in need of comfort and consolation, especially Lois, Caitlin, Mark, Mariah, Natalie, Mark, Noel, Carol, Charlotte, Celeste, Dell, Ed, Marge, Raleigh, Anna, Sherry, Bonnie, Warren, Ralph, Desi, Joyce, Cleo, Harper, Greg, Martha, John, Bob, Mildred, Diane, LaVon, Marge, Hilda, the family of Jason Macklin, the family of Patty Stradley, and for all those that we remember in our hearts. That our Lord would strengthen them in their afflictions, give them healing according to His will, and grant them His peace in the midst of their trials. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our brothers and sisters who face persecution throughout the world, that they boldly confess the name of Christ in the midst of all opposition, and entrust themselves and their families to the gracious and merciful care of the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For wisdom and prudence, that we may ever render unto the Lord all those things which belong to Him. Hear His word with thankfulness and praise, and eagerly partake of the Lord's Supper in repentance and faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have gone before us in the faith and now rest with Christ, and for their good confession, let us give thanks and ask that we too be given grace to await with joy the fulfillment of our own heavenly citizenship at the resurrection of all flesh upon the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we received the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the service and repentance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Hear us now as we pray together in his name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. only Lutheran Community Radio, KNNA 95.7 FM, The Cross.
blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand now and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. This time I would like to ask Deborah Baker, Sandra Langemeyer, Jerrane Yelkin, and Shelley Kurtzer to please come forward. Many of you know that there are two official auxiliary organizations in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Lutheran Layman's League and the Lutheran Women LWML, Lutheran Women, Missionary League. All right, you got too many initials for me. Okay, two official auxiliaries. We're pleased to have an LWML organization active in a study of God's Word and a proclamation and promotion of the gospel going forward. So today we install our new officers for our local LWML. Dear sisters in Christ, you are to serve our Lord as officers at Good Shepherd LWML. Hear what Holy Scripture has to say about those who serve in the church. Let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the presence of God and this congregation, I install you as officers at Good Shepherd LWML in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, visit these new officers with your love and favor. Enlighten their minds with the light of your gospel. Place in their hearts a love of the truth, and increase in them true faith. Nourish them with your goodness and of your great mercy. Keep them in your love, that they may be faithful in their service. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Amen. Amen. You are installed. All right. And I would encourage you to check out the LWML display out in the narthex. And also, there is an LWML event coming up. I want to say December 4. Does that sound right, ladies? December 4, all the ladies of the congregation are invited. That's the Christmas gathering, and those details are in the news and notes. We close now with the words of the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. May remain seated. We'll sing the common doxology. Welcome in the name of Jesus. A couple of quick announcements. First of all, check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. Also, members of our congregation, you probably received a letter in the mail this week. If you didn't, it will be coming. There's a deal in the News and Notes to talk about the estimate of giving that we're asking the congregation to participate in. And we were going to have this announcement last Sunday, but things ran a little long with the anniversary celebration. And our chairman of our stewardship board, Dale Borneman, is in Wisconsin shooting a deer this morning. So we pray for his safety and his success. But this is from Dale. I can't say the first line. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dale Borneman. No, okay, I'm not. I'm reading this for Dale. Okay. I asked for a moment this morning to let the church, to let you know that the church council will attempt a more proactive stance in budgeting. To do this, we need your help. In your household, you can likely make a pretty educated guess at how much income you'll have in the next week, month, or year. The church does not have that advantage. Our income varies over time. Often it varies quite a bit week to week. This is where we need your help. This week, all members will receive a letter asking for your best estimate of how you will support the church in 2018. We know life happens, so we are not asking for a pledge or a promise, just your best guess. This will not be effective if only half the congregation participates. So we ask for your assistance by December 3. Any questions, comments, or snide remarks can go to any member of the church council, especially me. Thank you in advance for your help. All right. Now, if you've been around Good Shepherd for a while, you know that we used to do the estimate of giving cards every year. And it got to the point where only about half the people in the congregation were participating, and so it didn't give us much of an estimate of what we would be receiving for the upcoming year. We want to be the best stewards that we can be of the resources that God has given us, and especially the best stewards that we can be of the gospel. So if you can participate,
this Sunday, next Sunday, the next Sunday is December 3. So we've got three Sundays here. You can put the estimates of giving in the mail. You can put them in the collection plate. You can hand them to one of the ushers or pastors. We need to know a name or an elephant. Envelope number, otherwise it doesn't help us, but everything is strictly confidential. Anything else on that estimate of giving process? We're not making a big deal out of it, but we've been talking quite a bit in our Sunday morning stewardship Bible study about how we as a congregation can be the best stewards, and this was the collective wisdom of the group. So if we can participate and make it happen, it'll be a good thing. We've got two more Sundays where we're going to talk about stewardship. And then on the first Sunday in December, we'll be back to the formula of Concord and Person of Christ. This week, worship schedule is a little bit different. We have no midweek or confirmation classes on Wednesday. We have Thanksgiving Divine Service at 6:30 on Wednesday evening, and then again at 9 a.m., 6:30 Wednesday evening. 6:30 Wednesday evening, and then again at 9 o'clock on Thursday morning. They will be effectively the same service. I think the choir singing Wednesday night, but not Thursday morning. Other than that, the same service, same sermon. Both of those services will be broadcast live on KNNA 95.7. There will be no Lifelight Bible study this week, also because of the Thanksgiving holiday. I think everything else... No school Thursday, Friday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, so check out the news and notes for those details. We have already talked about the LWML table. There's a fundraiser for the radio station, a dinner dance. You can dinner, you can dance, you can both. So check out Corey at that table. We've got two opportunities for Bible study this morning. We'll continue our look at the theology and practice of Christian stewardship in the fellowship hall. Coffee and goodies are there. You're all invited. Pastor Murundy, room 109. Confession and absolution. Are we for it or against it? We are for it. You'll be happy to know that. Okay. All right. I think that's all. Have a great day and week and life in Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to the regular Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Clint Poppy and Christopher Mirande pastors. At 9:30, join us for Sunday morning Bible study, followed by the 10:30 a.m. worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church.